Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. No Packers game this week, so probably the big sports draw in Wisconsin. Saturday Night Football. And I think it's a heavily nationally televised game. Wisconsin and Ohio State. I'm going to be out of town and probably not near a TV. I'm going to have to DVR it. Two quick questions, Jason. Can the Badgers beat Ohio State? Can they? Will they? Will they? You say yes. Really? This is the game that everybody, I said they were going to go 10-2. And ASU, in fact, was the game that I said they were going to lose. That and this one. We'll see. Ooh. Good friend says double no. They can't and they won't. I would say this. Yes, and I'll answer it later. Yes, I think they can. As to whether they will, not sure. Back to the topic at hand. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Got a couple of emails on this I want to respond to. I've been making the case, I think the only realistic way to deal with Obamacare is to let it happen. I shared with you a piece from Dan Henninger, Wonderland column, in today's Wall Street Journal, where he says exactly the same thing. Let Obamacare collapse. I want to read two emails, and I want to tell you why I continue to believe this is the only way to get rid of this beast. A shorter email, then a longer one, from Steve. Once it will be impossible to remove, fix once it's in. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, etc. are examples. How is fixing, eliminating them working? Here's the difference, and this is the difference that Henninger tried to make in his piece versus those entitlement programs. All right, when you talk about those other programs being broken, let's use the analogy of a car. Those other entitlement programs are a car that government gives people, a car that neither the people nor the government can afford. It keeps getting more expensive, and it keeps getting more expensive. As a result, though, government keeps cheating on how to keep making the payments, so the public gets the car. With the exception of some maintenance to the car that doesn't get done, the entitlement is there. So the broken part does not directly impact the end user. It does to some degree. But the real broken part is that it's unsustainable and it's going to break the country. The user driving the car, though, yeah, so what? That's not my problem, at least not. The only time that becomes an issue is when the government tries to say you can't use the car as much. Then those entitlements bog down. That's when government says, oh, no, keep using the car, keep using the car, keep using the car. That's how those entitlement programs are broken. To say that they'll just keep pumping more money in it, or they'll charge more or tax more, as Steve does, that's not the issue. It's not, well, not entirely. Affordability, of course, is an issue. But that's not what Henninger and I are talking about. What the end user here is going to see is how horrible this is in their lives. That's the question. How much more expensive insurance gets for them? How bad their health care gets? How messed up their lives are? Medicare, Medicaid doesn't do that, and Social Security to the general public. Remember, the whole public is going to be impacted by how dysfunctional this thing is. And again, we're talking in implementation. Yes, doctors are walking away from Medicaid or Medicare. Medicaid is a train wreck, and on and on and on. But most Americans don't feel that dysfunctionality. We're not just talking about this being an unsustainable entitlement as with the other entitlements. We're talking about how this won't work for the American public. So when you ask, name an entitlement that has ever been scrapped once implemented, this is a different animal. Because what you're seeing is it's a piece of junk. The analogy I used, that the other entitlements are a car that we can't afford the payments, that that doesn't bother the end user, this is going to be a car that breaks down every 24 miles. And the end user will feel that. That is the difference here. Ron writes, Jerry, I understand letting this train wreck die under its own weight. I was for this idea until my company's HR director informed us that our current affordable health care plan does not meet the new Obamacare standards. Jason, I don't think ours does either, just so you know. We were informed that some of the new preliminary estimates my company has received for acceptable coverage plans are not affordable, and they were not sure at this point if they would be able to offer us insurance after our current plan expires. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I was all for the train wreck until I realized I was going to be a victim in the wreckage. Ron and DePere, that's exactly what I'm talking about, precisely. Michael in Green Bay. Michael, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hey, Jerry, how are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, I've been listening to your argument here, and one of the things that's interesting is I was talking to somebody up in Canada, and they were describing to me the train wreck that is their healthcare program. And I said, why don't you do anything about it? And they said, there's nothing we can do. It's too entrenched. There's nothing we can do to back out of it. And this strategy of waiting for something to happen that makes sense to us is risky, because if it gets entrenched, give me an example of a government program that was ever overturned.
Yeah, but I just confronted that argument.
I must have missed it.
Yeah, what we're talking about, Michael, though, is, and by the way, if you think the Canadian system is dysfunctional, this is going to be people paying for something, at least the piece of junk in Canada. You don't have immediate out-of-pocket expenses. You pay it through your taxes. Here, it's going to be a piece of junk that's going to cost you a hell of a lot more than the current system. And there's going to be a real culture shock. The difference, Michael, is the entitlement systems that didn't go away because for most Americans, they didn't notice the dysfunctionality. Every American is going to be touched by this piece of junk. And I just read an email from someone who actually supported this until he realized how it's going to screw up his employer-provided system to the fact where it might go away. That's the difference.
Well, I think we're placing a lot of the gambit here on the fact that the American public will actually rise up and change this. And you've got guys like McCain in the House saying when he went out and campaigned, everybody wanted to stop this, and they allowed Obama to get reelected. So, you know, I'm putting your faith in the fact that people will actually rise up and overturn this. It's pretty risky.
Well, it is. But as Henninger said, no mere congressional vote can achieve that. Only the American people can kill Obamacare. Here's why. Because, look, let's say that they do kill the legislation of Obamacare, but not the idea. Democrats' rallying cry will then be, see, they didn't want you to see how good it is. They didn't want you to have this, and the idea won't die. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I get that strategy. I just I find this idea of waiting for a reaction and waiting for a rise in the public is a risky, risky play.
And my final response to that is when you've got nothing, you got nothing to lose, because the reality is you can't stop it legislatively. Whether you like to hear that or not, Michael, that's my response. Mark in Kokona. Mark, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hey, morning, Jerry. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
A couple things I'm concerned about. One, how many good doctors are we going to lose because they're going to quit?
Yes.
How many people are potentially going to die from this? How many people are going to lose their jobs or lose, you know, full-time wages? I guess growing up, I've never been taught that if I wait for something, good things come to me. You know, I've never waited for a good job. I've never waited to get a pay increase. I've never waited for any of these things because, you know, if you wait around in life, you're going to spend your life waiting around.
But did you ever wait for the right moment to make a move?
Yes, I have. You know, but at this point in time, what does it hurt to call these senators? I've been calling all kinds of senators
that's fine.
For the last week.
That's fine.
You know, and yeah. you know, make sure they know you're not happy.
I'm fine with that.
Their banks are full.
Totally fine with that. That Mark, I have no issue with that. My point is this. What you're saying is, though, why wait when you can do something right now? My response is you really can't do anything right now. But you do make a good point. Here is the argument against this that Henninger doesn't make that I will. And you made it. We're talking about people's lives. We're talking about the well-being of Americans who are going to be subjected to a completely defective, inefficient healthcare system. That is probably the strongest argument against.
We're going to lose a generation of doctors that aren't even going to go to med school because they're not going to make anything as a doctor because it's the way it's set up.
That point that you make is one that I cannot refute. Is it morally acceptable to destroy our healthcare system, knowing what it'll do to Americans, knowing what it will do to the medical profession? That is the real argument against this. Ty on the road. Ty, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hi, Jerry. Yeah, I have a question, actually, for you. I believe that the Democratic Party, a.k.a. Communist Party, and those in the Republican Party who are a part of it, they don't care if it train wrecks. They'll be happy with that because that just achieves their goal, and that's to destroy the economy of this country. Now, so my question to you is, if we let the train wreck happen, what then? What kind of government drip do the entitlement group want to be on then? How are you going to clean up this mess? I think it's better to avoid the mess than to have one that's more and more people are just going to want to be on some other entitlement government drip.
Okay. If you can, yes. My argument, Ty, is I see no way to stop this. Further, as Henninger, and this is the argument. This is the argument I've heard ever since I've been making this case. Well, Jerry, this is just going to create an environment where they will grow the entitlement to universal single-payer healthcare system. That has been the argument. Henninger's response to that and my response to that is this will be such a disaster that it might finally be the disaster that ends the addiction to entitlement completely.
Yeah, I don't really agree with that. I think there's going to be an entitlement mentality. The economy is going to be hurt. So many people are going to be out of jobs and all that economy is going to be so bad that more and more people are going to say, okay, government, take care of us. Take care of me. What can you do for me? I think that's the bigger argument, is the entitlement mentality we've already set among the American people.
Some will argue that, but I will tell you a lot of people's eyes have already been open. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk. I'm saying there are no slam dunks. Jason, can we take a break? Can Dr. Mary hold? Hopefully she can hold, because I don't want to. I have a feeling this might be a good call. And a long call, and we can hold her over if necessary till after 10, but we'll get it started in 3 minutes. It's 9:49.
The Jerry Bader Show.